For those that wasn't here last Sunday, we're starting. This is one of the things, part of the curriculum for this, of course. We've got a Bible verse to remember. And what we were going to do is the teacher has a choice of who's going to be picked or whatever this morning. I said, who wants to volunteer to get started? So, and if you're called on to recite the Bible verse next Sunday and you can't do it for whatever reason, or you mess up and they say, no, that wasn't right, then you can challenge the teacher to do the Bible verse. And if I can't do the Bible verse, then you still get your trinket. Or if you're called on to recite the Bible verse and you choose not to, you can pass. You know, no punishment or anything. Mm-hmm. You can pass and we'll call on somebody else. Is that all the rules? King James Version. That's why you got your card.
Memorize it from a card.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, we'll try next Sunday then. Last Sunday we had an introduction to 1 John. Started a new series last Sunday. And it was to understand the marks of authentic Christianity. Does anybody remember what those marks were? Okay, three marks. Truth. Believe that Jesus is in the flesh, is truly the Son of God. Obedience, consistent obedience, commands of God, and love one for another in the family of God. Marks of an authentic believer. Okay, today we're going to be looking, the title of the section is Source of Fellowship. And we're going to be talking about fellowship. We've got only four verses to cover today, so I don't know how long it's going to take me. Wow, time's almost half gone. Been good. Only going to cover four verses today. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And get started, we'll just read those. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So focus is on fellowship today. And we've got, looking at the first verse, there's basically four phases, four phrases that we're going to look at. When John was writing this epistle, the intention was not to call non-believers to faith, but it was written to believers. Because we talked about this last Sunday, because there's a lot of false teachers that were trying to divert people from the truth. So John is writing to believers about the gospel to try to, instill in them that to have fellowship with one another, you have to know the truth. Have to know the truth. And the truth is the foundation of all fellowship of Christians. And he's describing his, when he's writing this, he's describing his experiences that he has had. And he's writing to the believers about his experiences. And first verse, first phrase that we got, that which was from the beginning. Now the word beginning here is the same Greek word that he's used in his Gospel of John. And John 1:1 and John 1:2. If you want to turn there, John 1:1 and John 1:2, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. We have the word beginning there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So the word beginning that he's using here in his First John epistle is the same word beginning that he's using in his gospel when he's talking about the Word, Jesus Christ, which was with the Father from the beginning. The second phase we have, second phrase we have here, which we have heard. And we're going to see as we're going down through here that he is progressive in this. Heard, see, looked upon, and handled. So we're going to be progressively getting better evidence as we're going along. And he says he's heard. We have heard. And in Romans 10:17, it tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's where we basically get our introduction to the gospel, that we're drawn in. And that's why we're called to witness to other people, to talk to other people. That's why we have preaching in our worship service, so you can hear the Word and be drawn to faith. Next phase we got, next phrase we got, I keep saying phase for some reason, next phrase we got, which we have seen with our eyes. So it's talking about physically seeing something. Now he's heard the message. Now he's seen Jesus Christ, he's seen the Savior in the flesh. And the word seen here, the Greek word, has the meaning a stare at. And he says he's seen with his own eyes. He's a witness to what witness to the miracles and everything that Jesus was doing. Things that we see with our eyes, I mean, teachers can tell us this. I mean, you can get up there and talk all day long about something, but if you show it to somebody,
demonstrate
it, it sticks with them better. So not only has John heard Jesus, heard the Word, knows of the gospel, but he's seen Jesus in action.
Right.
He's seen
Jesus
his miracles.
Demonstrated the love of God. He performed a lot of miracles of healing, which is the love of God in action.
Now, we're told a picture is worth a thousand words. We hear that often. And that's what John is saying here. I've seen everything. So it's burned into my memory of the time he's been together with Jesus. And the next phrase, they sort of lump together, but I think it should be separated in two different things here. Which we have looked upon. Now it's talking about, the last one is see, and this one's looked upon. And it's two different Greek words. It's not the same Greek word, two different Greek words. The first one to see was to stare at or see physically with your eyes, and said he did that. The second one, looked upon, has a different meaning. It's you look closely at something, you examine it, or like you see it with your heart. You know, you can see something physically, but it has a different meaning when you've, I don't know, maybe meditated on it or something like that. When
like
you sing,
you're accepting it.
Yeah,
understand.
Yeah, understand it. You've examined it. You've meditated on it. Yeah.
Kind of like looking at a watch and seeing all the parts and saying, "I understand how it works." But, you know,
yeah.
Studying it, you finally figure out how it applies.
Any particular, say, occupation. Okay, I'm in computers, okay. I can open up a computer case and look inside and say, yeah, I understand all that. I know, you know, you got a SATA drive, you've got a floppy plugged in here, and somebody else look in there and said, Greek to me, I don't understand anything in there. Well, what John is talking about is he has heard the gospel from Jesus Christ. He's seen Jesus at work and seen all his miracles and stuff like that. And now he's understands in his heart what is going on. When he sees all this, it has meaning, more meaning to him than it did otherwise, because he understands it.
It's like it's become a part of him.
Yeah, it's become a part of his being, because it's in his heart.
It's like there's a difference between knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, you can read a book about anatomy all day long, but it don't make you a doctor. But the same doctor can look at that book and gain extra knowledge where you don't get anything out of it, maybe, except just a bunch of words. And the next phrase, and our hands have handled. Now, some translations say touched, and I like touched better. This is even greater reality. Going back to computer, I can look at a computer online all day long, but if you're into computers, you won't get your hands on it, touch it, play with it, see what it will do, It's a little bit different, get your hands on it, touch it, and keyboard and stuff like that. It's like a car. When you go to buy a car, you can say, that is a really nice car, but you get in and drive and say, I don't like this. It don't feel right or something, But in other cars, you say, I don't particularly like that car, but you get in and drive it, oh, I love this, just the way it drives and stuff. You never have the full experience until you get your hands on it and do something with it. And that's what John is saying. He's actually touched Jesus. He touched Jesus when he was in the flesh before he died. He saw him on the cross. He saw him after he resurrected. And he saw Thomas touch the nail holes and everything. He's been beside Jesus more than just rubbed up against him. He was one that Jesus said he loved. And you can imagine him embracing and stuff like that, and him thinking, this is the Son of God that I'm touching here. So it's had an impact on him. And he wrote about Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 25. John chapter 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and not be faintless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. John was there with him, and John wrote about it. It wasn't so much of a miracle that he was able to touch Jesus, but he was touched Jesus knowing who he was. And he called him the Word of Life. And we saw in John, Gospel of John chapter 1, he called him the Word also. Okay, verse 2 talks about fellowship again. For the life was manifested, and we have seen. We have seen it, and we bear witness. The life he's talking about is the life he just talked about in verse 1, the Word of Life. And that same life, the life was manifested. And the word manifested has the meaning of made known to him. So, where he didn't know the Son of God before. He didn't know who the Messiah was. And when we're going through the Gospels, we see where the realization who Jesus is comes upon them gradually, not all at once. They come to realize gradually who he is. And it was made known to them. Now, Jesus said on the road to Emmaus after he was resurrected that the whole of the Bible was written about him from the beginning, where it says, in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. And all through the Old Testament, and that's a Bible, so I've said before, that's a Bible study I'd love to be in, where you go through the Old Testament, showing throughout the Old Testament where the Old Testament's talking about his coming and stuff. And now being manifest or be made known to these 12 men, and it's made a tremendous impact upon John. And that's what John is trying to get across to the people he's writing to. The word of life, eternal life, has been made known to them. And we have seen it, and we bear witness. The word, there's one word there that means bear witness, a Greek word, martyrio. And that's where we get the English word martyr from. And the word martyred, the original meaning didn't mean somebody that died for the faith. The original meaning is to witness. And the Greek word is to witness. And when Christians were witnessing, the results of their witnessing led to their death. So the meaning of a martyr gradually went from being a witness to being a witness unto death. You know? So that's where we're getting our English word from, martyr. As persecution of Christianity began. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, that is a...
heavy.
Yeah, it depends on what version you get. Some of them are a little bit difficult to read if it's an older English kind of version, but a modern version may be easier to read, but it starts out at... with Stephen, the first martyr, and then it goes up through 1600s and something, the original writing, but you got later versions that carried into the 20th century that people added on to it. And anybody that reads Voice of the Martyrs or gets those emails, it's the same kind of story.
They put out a book also called Jesus Freaks.
Okay.
Tell me, this is one of the...
with DC Talk.
DC
Talk.
I was just going to say that. They're on sale, Ollie's really cheap.
What's that?
Jesus Freaks. It's 1 and 2, and they use a lot of the same stories. Today's language, really good.
And we, you know, it's hard for a lot of Americans to realize people are still dying for the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there used to be a Christian community in Iraq. It's basically gone now. Even though as bad as Saddam Hussein was, he kept stability there where Christians were relatively safe under Saddam Hussein.
He actually established a couple of synagogues as well.
Mm-hmm. But now, since we've gone in and sort of messed things up, I think, I don't know, the Christians have basically left. I mean, they're not safe there.
You can see that tide turning in our country.
They call themselves the Syrian Christians over there. And they were the ones that were actually most helpful to us in the Baghdad area and everything else. Especially, they're the ones that they had a rather tight-knit community and everything like that, and had lots of Western connections through probably missionaries and worked it out. It's sad to hear about the reports of them. I had, I don't know, trouble dealt with those folks.
Mm-hmm. But Christianity all over the world is being persecuted. And sometimes their safety is just really a thin thread there, that if some kind of event happens, then they could be killed. You know, in India, as many Christians as there are in India, you know, there's a lot of conflict between Muslims and Christians and Hindus and Christians. And yeah, I tried to witness to my doctor one time, who's a Hindu. And he got really upset with me. He said, "You Christians need to just leave us alone."
Bobby went to one of the tobacco stores, which he's a smoker. And one of the guys behind the counter, Bobby asked him, did they go to church? He said, "Yeah, on Friday." He said, "Well, how about you check out my church?" Hand him a pamphlet. The guy turned his back to him because he was a Muslim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now the guy, because Bobby goes in there every day to get cigarettes because it's cheaper, the guy quit that store and went to another one. Because every time Bobby would go in there, he wore that shirt, you know, every knee will bow. And that guy wouldn't wait on him. So he didn't buy him at the store.
In a different environment, it might have been a violent situation.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said when that guy turned his back, he started shaking because he didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, but everything was fine, you know, by the walk out and everything. So you never know. But he was just passing the word. He told the guy he didn't care what religion he was. He's not there to judge. He was just like to pass his word to him. He did that without us there, and he come home, and he was shaking.
In verse 2 here, we see a progression too here. We see where he says he's seen, and he bears witness, and then says he shows, S-H-E-W, but shows, unto show unto you that eternal life. The word show there has the meaning of tell, declare, proclaim, or report. And in verse 3, it is translated as declare. So he's seen, he's bore witness, and now he's proclaiming or showing or telling or reporting unto them about that eternal life. The eternal life he's talking about is the Word of Life, Jesus Christ, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Again, it goes back to where he's talking about in his Gospel, in the first verse of the Gospel, that the Word was with God from the beginning. And now it's made known to the apostles. Okay, verse 3. Focus on fellowship. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Again, this is the same word in the previous verse that was translated as show. That ye also may have fellowship with us. The word fellowship here is koinonia. And it's a special kind of word. It has a meaning of intimacy or in community or communion with somebody. And what you're trying to get across here is unlike the Gnostic teachers where they say, you know, we have this special kind of knowledge and you can't be saved unless you belong to our group and have this extra esoteric kind of knowledge that we can give you. No, John says there's nothing special, you know, nothing secret, nothing mystical about it. He wants to tell them everything to where they all have the truth and knowledge to where they can be in fellowship with each other. Yeah. So John wants to declare truth to all. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the fellowship that John's talking about is the same kind of fellowship, same word being used, koinonia, that he has with God the Father, that he wants all the believers to have among themselves. So we got this slide here. It says maintain fellowship with God. How are some ways that we can maintain our fellowship with God?
Spending time in the Word.
Okay.
Read your Bible.
Pardon me?
Read your Bible name.
Yeah.
Pray
throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come worship together in community. Yeah.
Bear one of those burdens.
Yeah. Well, that might fall under maintaining fellowship with others. Let's see what it says. Okay, study His Word. We got that one. Pray regularly. We got that one. Confess sins consistently. We didn't. I wonder how come we missed that one. Okay. Okay.
Well, hopefully, the more that we're staying in a constant state of prayer and studying His Word, the less sins we're going to have to consistently confess.
Yeah, when we're praying, yeah, often we're asking for forgiveness of our sins, things that we've done or should have done. Live obediently by the power of the Spirit. And worship in spirit and in truth. I think we got most of those. Okay, maintaining fellowship with others.
As Keegan said, bearing one another's burden.
Okay.
Having Bible study together.
Okay.
Witnessing.
Okay.
Confessing our faults one to another.
Okay.
Being helpful to one another. Okay. I mean, it kind of goes along with bearing one another's burdens, but there's a difference between going, oh, man, I feel bad for you, and actually doing something to help.
Mm-hmm. To be helpful. Living life together.
Just thinking about something. This confession, I think in America, we're under the impression that we get to some certain level, and we think we kind of know it all. I think. Mm-hmm. And I think
prideful.
We have so many layers that we hide that are compartmentalized as Christians, especially in the West, that confession, it's going to take our whole life to be made into the image of Christ. And I'm not certain that it, I think it's an all-the-time thing. Yeah. I mean, I experienced that in my life, that there's things that I just never thought about that were deep, deep, deep. And it happens as you're in ministry. The more you minister, the more you see of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Needing cleansing or changing. So.
I think we've become where we're not supposed to show that we have. I don't know why, but we feel like among Christians we're not supposed to show where we are vulnerable, where we struggle, and all that. But this is where we need each other. This is where we need to be open with each other and say, "Look, I'm struggling in this area."
Right, and that's where we're level at the cross. No matter the person that just walked in with an addiction or. Somebody that's been a Christian for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. All sin is sin. There's not one.
Yeah.
But we tend to rank them.
Sure.
It's not. Yeah.
Kind of reflects the idea that we want to present a flawless front. Everybody wants to be seen as kind of. For the most part, a lot of sins, habitual sins, come down to the fact of pride. Sense that you want to appear better than you are, more mature, more altogether than you are. But many times that's what's caused a lot of people to like slip. There's lots of church leaders and stuff who are having affairs and everything like that. It's because they don't have an accountability partner who they can say, "Hey, look, I screwed up just with one little thought. It was one bad thought. But if you're not, you can kind of pass it off. It's not a big deal. But if you're not telling somebody, hey." Mess up with this, but I want to get into the light. And that's kind of the idea of the later part where he says, walking in the light.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says to confess your sins one for another. There's a reason why it says that. It's not just confessing to God, but to have somebody here in flesh to say, hey, okay, let's stop and pray for you. Because sometimes it's hard to pray for ourselves. We don't know how, especially when you're in situations like that where you have a stronghold, you need somebody not only to hold you accountable to it, but to help pray you out of it.
Your part two to that is when you confess your faults one to another, it says if you see a brother stumble, you're to pick them up, lift them up, clean them up, dust them off. That's the continuation of it. And because the first thing is the pride. Mm-hmm. Pride is what kills us all.
I think that's one of the reasons, some people leave church, when they have to be transparent and express problems or things going on. And if they tell you about it, then people tend to look the other way and not do anything about it. Mm-hmm. So it just, nothing is
hurtful.
And that's what we're supposed to do. We should be able to talk to each other about what's going on.
I think too, a lot of times our mentality is, and when somebody does confess to us a problem, you know, we want to, you know, we want to help make them accountable, and it comes off as judgmental. What, you know, despite what our motivation is, one way or the other, unlike what Brother Dan is saying, we're supposed to help pick them up,
right.
Help dust them off, and walk hand in hand, not with a judgmental attitude, but saying, just like you were talking earlier, we need to be transparent with each other.
Love.
You know, it's like, you know, if you know I'm struggling with this, and I know you're struggling with that, then maybe we can walk hand in hand and help each other through this mob.
I agree with that, but we need to know the people we're dealing with, too, and be careful not being an enabler for the
yeah,
sides,
right.
too.
Because they will come.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
And it takes knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm. And a relationship. Yeah.
Relationship.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, is a relationship. If we don't have a relationship, you can't hold somebody accountable that you're not part of their lives.
One thing that...
that triangle, too. The triangle that your relationship with each other and
needs to,
of course, the most important.
Yeah.
Focus on
God. One thing... sort of come to my mind when we're talking about this is in a previous church, there's often people that come to church at the towards the end of the service or maybe even on the weekend or something like that and asking for help. And lots of times it was easy, just, you know, they need $5 to get some gas, easy to get them $5 and let them go.
Yeah.
But if you do what you're supposed to and take the time and I'll go and put the gas in the tank for it. Oh, that's okay. Just give me the money.
Yeah.
No. I'll go and help you. I want to get to know you. No, I don't want to get to know you. You know, I'll go somewhere else. I'll just give me the money kind of thing. So that's part of our responsibility as Christians if we're going
to
help
a
to be have enough concern to get to know them, get to know their problems and stuff like that. Because there's a lot of people out there that are con artists.
Yeah.
And they're trying to hit on Christians that have a soft heart.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we may have a soft heart, we ought to go that extra mile, extra step or whatever, and get to know that person that has a need. And oftentimes, it's just... give them the $5. It's off my conscience. I help somebody. That's on
right.
them now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. So it's that's difficult to do, though. Difficult for me to do, too, to get to know somebody like that that has a need, to go that extra step to help them out, to find out if they are a con artist or if they really have a need, you know.
Right.
After you've been con 2 or 3 times, though, you soon learn.
Yeah.
And I've had it happen to me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. We draw a line in the sand here.
Yeah.
I will go with you, get what you need. But I have actually taken them to the store, and then they turn around and look at me and say, will you buy me a case of beer?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. I'm here buying you food, and you want me to buy it? No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. No more.
Okay, we've talked a lot. Let's see what the slide says here. Pray for others with sincerity. Serve others with humility. Esteem others highly. Seek to solve conflicts quickly. Love one another as Christ loved us. Okay, our last verse, verse 4. Fellowship with God and others. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. We can only have that fullness of joy if we have that spirit of joy with us. Holy Spirit indwells with us. And that's what John is trying to get across to the people. For the joy to be full, they have to have the full understanding of the gospel to where the Spirit can be indwelling in them. And that's what changes us as people when we have that indwelling of the Spirit. We're a different person, born again then. A different spirit, different person, full of joy. When we have the full knowledge and truth of the gospel and the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people are looking for joy and pleasure in life. In the country western song, all the wrong places, you know.
Yeah.
And we have everything that we need when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have those joys, we have those pleasures, we have those riches, mm-hmm. not physical maybe, but spiritual riches that we have. Everything that a human longs for can be fulfilled when they have a relationship with their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Full joys. And then John's joy was seeing other people come to that knowledge.
Oh, that's the greatest deal in mm-hmm. the world, is to see someone come to Christ.
Okay, our last class was understanding the marks of Christianity. Anybody remember them?
Truth
of Jesus Christ is Son of God in the flesh.
Obedience.
And love. Strength and fellowship with God and others is a theme of our class today. Mm-hmm. And I've got we've got a couple minutes. I've got a case study here. It says, Bill checked his phone messages. The first message was from Tom, an old friend he hadn't talked to in over 20 years. Tom found Bill's contact information on Facebook and wanted to get back in touch with him. Bill hesitated to call his old friend back. This was the fourth or fifth time Tom had tried to reach him since they both graduated from college. Each time, Bill ignored Tom's attempts at communication, mainly because he was too busy to try to build another relationship. Bill decided not to return Tom's call in order to avoid the awkwardness of making an excuse for not returning his calls. Bill went on his day hoping Tom wouldn't make any more attempts to call him back. How would you describe Bill's actions?
He didn't have time for anybody but Bill. I'm sorry.
Why does building a relationship always demand some level of sacrifice?
If you're going to make the time, you should not open a Facebook account.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
this is not what he's thinking.
Yeah, so, some of these people got thousands of friends on Facebook. How do they do that?
They don't really know them.
They're
all gaming. It's all gaming. You need them for games.
Forget the gaming. Go on and read what you got to read.
I've been on it 2 weeks ago, and I have 300, and that's from all the school. And everybody was like, wow. I couldn't get over it. I don't know how to work it, but I do.
Have you ever treated God like Bill treated Tom?
Mm-hmm. Every one of us has.
Just too much busyness going on and don't have time for God today. I'll do it tomorrow or next week or sometime. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's difficult to establish our priorities the way they should be established. Mm-hmm.
Sounds to me like he wasn't really interested in, you know, there's some, it seems to me that there's something more than just I'm too busy. You know, there's some reason he did, I mean, because if it was somebody who really meant something to him, yeah, meant something to him at some point in his life, you would think that there would be, you know, a need for him to a desire to reconnect. But it just, you know, he was all right, or I think something had to be there for him to just brush it off.
One of the hardest things for me to do, I think, is to look at some people and think they were created in the image of God. This is difficult sometimes for some people, you know. But we're looking at fellowship with God and one another. That's our lesson today. And we're out of time. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you in your sanctuary now that we'll be able to show and demonstrate to one another our fellowship with each other and our fellowship with you, Lord, as we lift up our songs of praise. We pray that all we do and say in our songs of praise will be pleasing in our sight and be with Preacher Adrian Green as he delivers the message, and it may touch our heart today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.